here, by show of hands, giving is very easy for you? Amen. How many for you it's hard? Not all the time, but can be hard. Nothing wrong with that. Giving is hard for me. For you guys, if it's not hard, you're just a better Christian than I am. It's sometimes... sometimes it's hard, is my main point. But you know what? God was telling me that the message for my title today is God is faithful. Yes. Amen? Amen? God is faithful. You know, my dad uses that term a lot. And one family prayer, I think like 2 or 3 weeks ago, he said, if you were to do a giving message and you said, God is faithful, that would be more than enough. You could just sit down and that would be it. Amen? Amen? That statement holds a lot of power and truth for someone who wants to be a better giver, who wants to live that lifestyle of giving, right? Now, knowing how much power that is, I'm going to dig in real quick, give you 2 points to help you understand that. Now, there's plenty more that could be added to it, could be talked about. I only have 2 for today. The first point I have is that believing that God is faithful requires trust. Now, trust is such a vague word. Trust, you could trust in so many different things. For this particular point, I'm going to be reading, all my scriptures today will be out of the Amplified Version, and I'm doing Psalms 37, verses 3 through 5, and it says, trust, rely on, and have confidence in the Lord, and do good. Dwell in the land and feed securely on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do it. Now, trust, like I said, it's such a vague term. The 2 things that we should trust in completely, not the only 2 things, just because I'm limited on time, I only can share 2. The first one is you have to trust in God's nature. Our God is a good God. He will never fail you, amen? Now, his nature, God is a good God. We serve a God and none can compare to. Now, I actually had a funny story about that. Now, I just started working, so like now, that's pretty much the only thing I'm good at nowadays. So that's like all I can think about when it comes to revelations, when I'm like working or something, and God drops words in my heart. And this past job we did on Monday in Ala Moana, we were working for, working in housing, I don't know what you call it, but like there's this housing or apartments that are connected to the Ala Moana Mall, and it's supposed to be very high-end or whatever, but the guy we were working for was actually like a billionaire, and we were doing his floor in his garage. And then I guess one of my coworkers thought that he had talked to the main guy, the head boss. Turns out we were only talking to his assistants, all his assistants. We never once made direct contact with him. And then my boss was like, he thought he actually talked to the boss. So my boss said, how was it like talking to a billionaire? And, you know, for me, in my mind, what I told my boss was, he's just another man to me. I've talked to the creator of the universe. Amen? That God is a good God. That is how good he is. Like a billionaire, of course you respect his prestige and his rank, but he's just another man. Amen? Or woman. So, trust. Such an interesting word, right? I have another picture of trust for you guys. Could you guys pull up that picture I have of that grinder? So we have this grinder that we work with for the flooring. Now that is a 30 GE or a Levina 30 GE super abrasive concrete grinder. Right, Jared? I got that right? Yeah. I had to ask Uncle Jared for that. He's the mechanic, not I am. Anyways, that's the grinder. We had to take it to the job site and we had to unload it at a loading dock in Ala Moana because you can't just walk up with a grinder to someone's million-dollar home. So, took us to the back loading dock. The loading dock is like about this high. I don't know how high that is, but anyway, about this high. And our truck or the back of the van is only like about that high. We have an 11-foot like pull-out ramp that we pull out from the back of the van. And I was looking at it. I was like, how are we going to get... By the way, this machine is like 881 pounds, almost 900 pounds. So we're wondering, how are we going to get it from the truck onto the loading dock? Because this is the only loading dock we have scheduled for that day. So my boss had this great idea. Let's pull out our ramp, put the ramp on top of the loading dock, I'll reverse the van and pin it against the loading dock, and that should work. We put the ramp on. Only 4 feet of the ramp is actually on the loading dock. The rest is just sloped down onto the from the truck. So the angle is like this. This is our angle. It's 11-foot ramp. 4 feet is on the loading dock. You got 7 feet angle, just like this. And we have a 900-pound grinder, and we're wondering how the heck are we going to get this thing from this van onto the loading dock. So I was like, you know what? My boss is like, we're just gonna try it. You know, we're already behind schedule. We need to just do this, commit to it. I was looking at Jared was in India at the time, so he was lucky enough not to do this with us. So I told my coworker, turn the machine around, I'll pull, you push. He's like, and my boss is like, that's the only way. So my boss, Tim, he's not a very heavy guy, so he's like max, like 140 pounds. He was standing on the end of the ramp on the loading dock to weigh it down. We were the only two strong enough to just get this up onto the loading dock. So we turned the machine around, and I would pull walking backwards up the ramp, and my coworker John would push from the bottom. Now, in that situation, what do you think I'm trusting? Like, just off the top of your head.
Friction?
Like, what is something practical that I'm trusting? The other guy's strength, you know, that's what I was thinking. But in that moment, I was like, God was speaking to me. He's like, wait, where is it? I put it down. He's like, Junior, you trust in the wrong things because you lack perspective. And I was like, you forget what you're standing on. I thought it was supposed to be super deep, right? That sounds super deep. Like, oh, man, I could get super philosophical with that. But no, actually, God's like, no. No, dude, for real, the gate you're standing on, that is what you're trusting in. Because I forgot to mention that the gate has a loading capacity of 800 pounds. So the machine is 900 pounds. My coworker's 320 pounds. I'm just shy of 300 pounds. So right now, 600 plus 900, we have like 1,500 pounds coming up that gate. I was like, looking at my coworker, how are we going to do this? Needless to say, end of the story is that we did make it. We did get the grinder up there. We did get the job done. Definitely sketchy, but we got it done. You know, that's all that matters. That was a good picture of trust that you guys can have. Sometimes we have the wrong perspective of trust. And if we focus it, you can focus in on the 2 points that I gave you, which was, what was that? God's nature. And then the second one of that is his promise. If God said it, then we should believe it. This point is especially true for those who say they believe, quote unquote, in God. The test is actually believing his word and living by it. If you want to be a good, better giver, if you want to live that lifestyle of giving, you have to trust his promise and believe in his word. That's the first point. Second point in Hebrews 13, verses 8. I'm not going too fast for you guys, am I? Okay, good, because I don't have much time. what did I say? Hebrews 13, verses 8, again, out of the Amplified Version, and it says, Jesus Christ is eternally changeless, always the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, the reason why I chose that scripture is because in my second point, it's that different seasons, but the same God, especially in your giving. Life is full of battles. Newsflash, if you're not battling in life, you're doing something wrong. Like, that's just quote unquote, that's just how it is. If you're not battling, if you're not struggling at one point or another in life, you're doing something wrong. So when God was telling me that, I was like, God, what are you talking about? Like, that's kind of like, you know, it seems like it would turn some people off and kind of turn them away from the word of God or from living this lifestyle. And he said, think about it like working out. Muscles grow only if they're forced to. By lifting weights, you're actually causing tiny tears known as micro tears in the muscle fibers, which the body then repairs and adapts the muscles to better handle the stimulus that caused the damage. Basically, you put in the work, it's sore, and it's a good sore, because the next day, it means muscle is building.
That's right.
And if you do it again, that means that same workout will not hurt as much, and you need to increase repetition or loading or whatever you want to do. But my main point from that is that pain is a good thing, especially in giving. Pain is a good thing, because it means that you've torn properly those muscle fibers, and they're growing. And if you do it again, your body is adapting to that whatever caused that stimulus in the muscle. So in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, again in the Amplified Version, it says, and we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to an even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, it's like tearing those muscle fibers. We heal and then adapt to better handle the situations that's caused damage, right? So just like kind of to wrap it all, just so that I kind of threw it all at you, now I'm going to wrap it up in a nice burrito and give it to you and you guys can enjoy it. So the back to the beginning. I have 2 points. The first point, trust. Should have that memorized. Trust. Believing that God is faithful requires trust. And what do we trust in? God's nature, and we're trusting in his promise. The part two of that I gave you guys was different seasons, but the same God. There may be a couple, like plenty of different seasons that you go through, easy seasons, hard seasons, doesn't matter what you're going through. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He will be a good God regardless of what you've gone through. And in conclusion, in order to better ourselves in our lifestyle of giving, we must believe in God's promise and his nature. I'm hammering on those two things because that's important. And then I'm pretty sure on the screen it says it. From the second point, we also need to have a healthy sense of reality, and that is that battles will come. You should be ready for them, and when they do, you as a person will come out stronger. This is all towards the lifestyle of giving, because giving, it goes outside the walls of the church. I mean, this has to be a lifestyle. You can't just give on Sunday and then, half blood's not really the right word, but you can't really, like, I don't know what the word is, but you can't, like, not commit, like, the rest of the week. Amen. Sunday is, like, barely even half of your week, right? Yeah. So we should be living like that all the time, whatever you're doing. I mean, I'm still working on that. I'm not just preaching to you guys. I'm preaching to myself as well. Like, if I'm at home and I'm laying on my bed and I see that my brother didn't fold the clothes, I should get up and fold the clothes, because that's like giving, right? Not that brother, the younger brother, because I share a room with my younger brother. But yeah. So please, consider these 2 points, and God's faithfulness will be that much more prominent in your life. Amen? In conclusion, I don't really know, like, how, I only, like, off the top of my head remembering this, but here at the Ark, we have 3 quick and easy ways to give, as shown on the screen behind me. Please, if you want a giving slip, raise your hand and an usher will give one to you. And guests, remember there was something about the guests. You guys are very important to us. We cherish you. We really do. I do a horrible job of cherishing you guys, but we do cherish you guys. guests, that... If you gave online, please still present yourself to the altar. Walk up, give your giving, and another thing. I see a lot of guests do this. If someone gives you money that's not for you to come and put back in the giving basket, that's a blessing from us to you, so please keep it and be blessed. And I'm pretty sure I hit everything. Amen? Thank you. I'm sure. All right, can we please stretch out our hands to our giving? All right. I thank you, Father, for everyone whose hearts you gave today. I thank you, God, that each and every one of them will learn to better ourselves by trusting in your promise and your nature. I thank you that we'll realize that different seasons, but the same God. I just thank you for everybody as they give, that they'll give obediently and that it will become easier over time and as we level up in our giving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So now, can we please, stand back to our feet as we welcome Pastor Jake, I believe.
Well, hallelujah. How's everybody doing?
Awesome!
Oh, it's great to see you guys. Look at that. I want an iPhone. Praise the Lord. Hey, didn't Junior do a great job? Thank you, Junior. Can I just tell you that as you raise your kids in the fear of the Lord, you want them to be able to grow up to preach the Word of God. We tell people that our kids are going to know how to preach the Word of God and how to serve God, and if God wants them to do anything else, He's going to have to teach them, because we're teaching them how to serve Him. And we're so excited that you're here today. God's going to do something amazing in your life. And today we're going to be keeping, I think we're keeping the kids in. Am I right? Kids class teachers? Yes. We are keeping the kids in here today so that they can hear a little bit about what God did in our trip to India. So for those of you that don't know me, I'm Pastor Jake. I'm the lead pastor of this church, along with my lovely wife, Pastor Jolie, who is helping us to lead worship today. Would you give our worship team a round of applause? Great job. And it was such a blessing last week to have Jason and Kelly Patterson take the lead on ministering the word. Man, they did such a great job last week. How many of you guys were blessed by that? I loved just watching Jason flow in his particular anointing and his style. For those of you that don't understand pigeons, sorry you got some pigeon last week. But I think it's great to allow people to flow in their strength and in their ability and in their gifting and in their anointing. We're not all the same, but we celebrate those differences and we allow God to move in the way that He's going to move through each individual person. I want to tell you that your anointing is different than anybody else's anointing. Your grace is different than everybody else's grace. The way that God is going to work in your life and through your life is different than anybody else's. That's why you can't compare to anyone else around you. The Bible says those that compare themselves among themselves, they're not wise. Why? Because then you'll try to be like somebody else. But you know what? You're not somebody else. You're you. And if we don't know that, we will try to live like someone else. But then the world will miss out on the you that God has designed you to be and to impact the sphere that only you can. Well, today, we're going to take a little bit of time to share with you about our trip to India. And so we've got a little bit of a slideshow. It's not very many slides at all. We have a ton of pictures, and we'll be posting those. If you want to see them, if you're one of the people that are part of this church, we will make them available to you on our Archie Facebook page. So if you go to the Ark Christian Church Facebook page, if you look at the pages that are sponsored by our church, there's a page that's for Archies. That's people who are members of the church here. And what we'll be doing is we'll be putting all the videos and all that stuff on there so you can check them all out, because some of them are a little bit lengthy with testimonies and stuff. We just don't have time to share them all on a Sunday morning. So if you want to check them out, go over there and sign up to be a part of the Archie page. And it's a great place, a great hub for what's going on in our community if people are giving stuff away, because that's always happening. And finding out whatever else is going on, it's a great place to be online. So with that being said, I'm going to invite Jared up in just a little while, but I'm going to talk you through some of these photos that we have, short clips of video as well. So this is Jared and I in the New Delhi airport, and this is our last cup of coffee before heading into rural India. If you don't know this, India doesn't really have, at least in the area that we're in, does not have a big coffee culture. In fact, we went to go and have a cup of Indian coffee, and what it was Folgers. instant coffee with a bunch of milk. It was not wonderful. And we let the people know that we are with that this is not good coffee. And so we will introduce you to good coffee the next time that we come. So we enjoyed our last cup of coffee. It happened to be a cold morning there in New Delhi. And so we enjoyed that before we moved on in our trip. Just so that you know, you can go to the next one. Just so you know, it took us about 54 hours from door to door to get where we were going. So we went from here to San Francisco, had a bit of a layover there. Then we went from San Francisco to New Delhi. That was a 16-hour flight in the air. And then we had about an 8 or 9 hour layover in New Delhi. And then we took an internal flight that was about an hour and 45 minutes long. Then we had a 10-hour layover in Raipur where we landed, and then we had an 8-hour drive through the night to get where we were going. We had 2 hours to rest, and then I preached for 8 hours the next day. Preached for 8 hours the next day. Not just ministry, but preached for 8 hours the next day. This on the way to the place where we were going, which is going to remain nameless, by the way, because of security reasons. But we had a stop in the middle of the night at a dhaba, which is a restaurant. And this is part of the salad that they gave us. So some raw beets, which, by the way, tastes like sweet dirt. Tomatoes and lemon wedges and cucumber and carrots, those really dark orange things, those are carrots. And it's lovely along with some of the other foods that we got at the dhaba. You can go to the next one. This is our first cup of chai. And Jarrett was praising the Lord every moment after that, every cup of chai that we received. He was praising the Lord. Chai is a different experience in India than it is at Starbucks or any other places in the U.S., unless it's an Indian restaurant. It's a really different experience, and it's wonderful. So that was our first cup of chai. We kind of looked somewhat awake. Not too bad, right? After about, I don't know, 48 hours of traveling, and I think we had one shower in that time. Just because there weren't any showers available. So not looking too bad. We're really dead tired. And after this, we fell asleep in the car on the way, which is a good thing. All right, go to the next one. Yep, this is our first meeting. This is after 2 hours of sleep. This is our first meeting with the pastors that were gathered together. So a bunch of pastors gathered together to get training, to receive. Not everybody is a part of the group that we're working with, but they're connected to or maybe even from other organizations, but they came to hear the word of the Lord. And so we're preaching about 4 hours a day to these pastors, building them up in the word of the Lord. And so these are the folks that we're ministering to. We're still smiling. And go on to the next slide there. So this is the banner for what they put together. We had a 3-day conference in the town that we were at. We had pastors' meetings in the day for about 4 hours of teaching and training. And then in the evening, then we had believers' meetings. We were praying for the sick. God was doing amazing things all throughout every aspect with the pastors as well as with all the believers, and all the pastors were there as well. It was a little bit cool out there at night, so we were wearing jackets and stuff, but this was the meetings that we were at just in this town there. And then after that, we moved on to some other villages in the surrounding areas. Go on to the next one, guys. So this is the first believers meeting at night. And you can see, don't you love all the colors? Isn't that great? And we're just meeting in kind of a small dirt floor area with a tarp over the top of it, and a sound system that's totally bogging out, and sounds like everything's distorted, everything's on 10, and you can barely hear anything. But the presence of God is there, and that's what matters. So some wonderful believers. You can see that the kids down front on the left-hand side there, man, they're just worshiping their hearts out. Some of these kids on the bottom left there are some of the kids that are orphans that we're helping to support in India as well. So there's 10 that are living in the pastor's home and that they're taking care of and that we help out with as well. Go on to the next one. Do we have sound for it? I don't know. Maybe. Don't worry if you don't know the song, it's in Hindi. Just worship in tongues. It's all good. Amen. Go to the next one. Here's Jarrett. He was definitely in prayer support as I was about to minister that evening in the Word of God. And then he was super integral in helping me to lay hands on people. I mean, we laid hands on everybody every night. The presence of God was just smashing people all over the place. And he came prepared, ready to move in the power of God. So just wanted to make sure that you knew he was actually there. He's going to come up in just a little bit and share. Go on to the next one, please. Here's another picture. This is another one of the meetings later in the week, probably the next night, I think. And the meetings just kept growing and growing and growing. There was standing room only. People were standing out by the bathrooms around the corner. I mean, they were just listening from other parts of the property and everything, but people were coming from all over the place. Go ahead to the next one. This is the accommodations where we're staying. This is actually in the pastor's home. So they created this space for us to be in. We didn't spend much time there. The beds are those types of beds where if you're like me and you go to a hotel and you like to just jump onto the bed like, oh, I finally arrived. Don't do that. It'll knock the wind out of you. And they're very hard. They're not comfortable by our standards, but they're a place to sleep, and it was not outdoors. It was indoors, and it was a great place for us to just be able to retreat to. They mostly left us alone because after preaching, so we had 2 hours of rest the first night, preached for 2 hours. We had 45 minutes to rest, so I wrote a message in 15 minutes, rested for 30 minutes, and then preached again for another 2 hours. Then we came back to this room. We had 1 hour of a break. I put together my message in about 20 minutes for the evening service, and then we ministered again for another 2 or 3 hours in the evening, and then we talked to pastors and prayed for people and all that stuff all night long. It was amazing. So this was our little hideaway from everything that we needed to do, and it was a good place for us to be able to rest. We did have a little partner with us. We called him Mickey. Mickey would come and visit us every day, pretty much, and come running along the beams in the house. And there was a little family of Mickeys, in fact, but they didn't really bother us. But you just have to know that they are there in India as well. Let's go on to the next one. You can't see it real close up, but this is a plate of red ants along with their larvae and eggs, and it's called chapra. Chapra is a delicacy in the area that we're in. So the villagers will go out into the forest, they'll collect these chapra, and they're used for a bunch of different things. You can smash them up in your hands, and you can sniff them, and it's kind of like smelling salts, or like they use it kind of like Vicks VapoRub, if you guys know the old school thing to open up your sinuses. Works really well, by the way. I tried it. And then they also eat these, so some of them will eat them live. I did have some eggs just raw. Jarrett was not brave enough to try that, so I'm going to rag on him for the rest of the time until he makes it a point to eat them. I eat anything that's put in front of me, by the way. And then they also turn it into chutney. So they'll grind them up with some chilies, some tomatoes, some garlic, and some cilantro and stuff. They'll grind it all up and turn it into a paste. If you ever wonder what these particular red ants taste like, they're extremely sour. They must have a lot of citric acid or something in them, and so they're really sour. Tastes like the most citrusy thing that you can imagine, but it's delicious if you can get past the idea of seeing eyeballs and legs and antenna while you're eating it, right? And so they are delicious. They are very dangerous to gather because they do bite. In fact, they consider the bites of them to be medicinal. So sometimes if people have fever or something, they'll go out into the forest and purposefully get bit by red ants. They don't hurt as bad as the ones at Magic Island, just so you know, because I did get bit by these two, and they're not as bad as the ones at Magic Island. But I got even with them, and I ate them. Go ahead and go to the next one. So here's some more pastors. I don't know. Go ahead and hit next one. I think we might have. So the pastors are actually worshiping. We had a worship service every time we got together. So this is the worship service, mostly drums, tambourines, and they did have a keyboard that had a loop going on behind it. They hired that special for the meetings. Other than that, when you go out into the villages, you've got drums and tambourines and voices. And you know what? We don't need all of this for the presence of God to show up. What we need is worship. And worship doesn't come from instruments. Worship comes from our hearts. Can you say amen to that? Let me tell you that the presence of God gets so thick as we worship. You know, Jared and I don't even speak Hindi. I mean, just a little bit, right? But we just worship in the Holy Ghost. If you come in here and you don't know the words to the song, don't worry about it. Just be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sing to Him psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and the presence of God will come and touch you. You don't need to know the words. You just need to worship God. Amen? All right, let's go to the next one, guys. I think we're almost done. This is the third night of the meeting. As you can tell, it's gotten more full. By the way, it's not just women that are at the meeting. It just looks that way. They do separate men and women as in the meeting, just as part of their culture. And so a lot of the men are actually sitting on the perimeters, all the way around the back and on the sides, and the power of God was touching them just as well. This particular day, I really gave it to the pastors that morning. And I told them, our job, pastors, is not to sit on the platform and to watch how our congregation members worship, to judge how well they do. Oh, they're doing pretty good today. But our job as pastors is to lead the way. We should be the most vile when it comes to worship. You know what I mean? We ought to be the most engaged. We ought to be the most passionate about worshiping God. And if you notice that if you come in here and you see some crazy guy dancing right down here in front, yeah, that's me. Why? Because I'm not worried about how you're worshiping, because I don't need to worry about how you're worshiping. I need to worry about how I'm worshiping. Because God's not concerned about how well I judge other people. He's worried about how well I worship Him on my own. Can you say amen to that? And so by the end, and I told them that Jesus was full of joy. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above all His brethren. And in India, it tends to be a culture where the pastors will be very solemn. If you ever take a picture of them, they'll be smiling, they'll be talking to their friends, and you say, let's take a picture. They grab their Bible and they're like, kid you not, I can show you pictures. They're all like that. And I said, look, it's not going to break your face if you smile. Let's not look like we got baptized in lemon juice. You know, Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above all His brethren. In other words, He was the most fun guy to be around. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So I expect you, I told him this, I expect you tonight to be the most loud people in the room. I expect you to be dancing more than anybody else. I expect to see a smile on your face, and you are dark people, so I will see your smile. And they've given me the liberty to speak to them in this way. They've kind of invited me in to be an apostolic figure in their lives and in their ministries, and I would not talk to them that way otherwise. I would just encourage them in the Lord. But when they said, speak into our lives, I said, I will speak into your lives. And so I encouraged them, man, I'll tell you what, these pastors had so much breakthrough. Their lives are never going to be the same again. Their congregations will never be the same again. And, you know, if you think I'm too joyful, I'm sorry, you're going to need to go to another church. Because I'm going to stay joyful because Jesus was joyful. I know that a lot of people think that Jesus had calluses on His feet. He had bad breath from fasting all the time, you know, and that He was just sad and all kinds of stuff. But you know what? That's not who Jesus was. Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above all His brethren. He was a happy dude. And that's why people that were in distress and in trouble, they wanted to be around Him, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Can I just tell you that if you're struggling in your relationship with Jesus Christ, get some joy. Joy will help you so much. And if you don't have anything to be joyful about, come and talk to me. I'll help you to find something to be joyful about. One of the things that you can be joyful about is that your bed is softer than the concrete floor. Amen? Amen? There's so much to be joyful about. That you woke up and you took a breath this morning, man, that is something to be joyful about. To have good music and to have people that are helping to lead you in worship, man, that's something to be joyful about. That you have a chair to sit on is an amazing thing. You know, they're sitting in these meetings for like 4 hours, 6 hours on the hard floor, sitting Indian style. Just sitting there on the floor. And praise God that we've got comfortable chairs. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the next one. I don't know. Oh, this is the worship. So you hear that it's all distorted. That's not a problem with the recording. That's how it sounds. And they're singing the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Yesunam, Yesunam. They're singing the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. And as we're singing the name of Jesus, Jesus just begins to move in this place. Amen. Let's go to the next one. This is a church in an area called Bijapur. The pastor is standing right between myself, if you can see me in the photo there, and Pastor Indrajit and Jarrett. So he's the shortest one in the picture. His name is Pastor Samnat, and he is doing an amazing work in that place. Let's go to the next one. We did a surprise marriage counseling. They don't even go to this church, but they showed up because they heard that some white people were coming. And that we had the word of the Lord in us, and they came for some marriage counseling. So we gave them marriage counseling in the name of Jesus. Let's go to the next one. This is a village restroom. So I didn't show you the nice restroom, but this is the village restroom. And yes, those are the walls of the restroom, and the floor is the bathroom. So just know that we were not in wonderful, pristine conditions. It is the true squatty potty, and it was not clean. It does not smell good, but guess what? It works anyway, right? Let's go on to the next one. This is Pastor Indrajit, who is on the far right, the pastor that I'm working with that has a group of pastors under him. This is actually his village that he got kicked out of when he actually received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The good news is that his family was the first family to get saved in that village, and now over 5,000 people in that village are believing in Jesus Christ. Amen. They used to be ostracized from the village events because they're considered to be untouchable. But now there's so many people that are Christians in that village that they can't leave them out because then nobody would be there. And so God is just moving in this place amazingly. And the houses are really small. We actually have to duck to get in there. I'm not that big, but we have to duck to get in there. And Jared almost got his head chopped off by a fan. And the goats had to be in the photo. I just want you to know that. The goats had to be in the photo. Let's go on to the next one. This is Chitrakoot Falls. We usually try to take one day to go see some things. This is called the Niagara Falls of India, and it was about 2 hours away from where we were at, part of the Indravati River basin there. And when it is the wet season, that entire rim there, that half moon, is completely overrun with water. So we actually went down into the bottom lake there and almost went underneath the falls. It was pretty awesome. And we had a great day with a bunch of the pastors. We blessed them. You know, one of the great things about going there is that we were able to take some pastors with us that have never been to this part of India, even though it's only 2 hours away from where they live. And it's just they don't have the finances to be able to do that. But we invested in them in a day of fun and a day of just relationship building, showing them amazing parts of their own country because we were able to do that. So you are a part of that as well, and it was a great day with these pastors. Go ahead and go to the next one. This is Pastor Indrajit and his family, his wife Indu, his daughter Nisi on the right, and his son Justin on the left. They're 5 years old and 4 years old. I'll have to tell you the story about them some other time. Let's go to the next one. And this is a bunch of the pastors that we took there that day, as well as some of the people that were just serving in some of the meetings, but mainly it's the pastors that we're working with. Great group of men. Their wives were at home taking care of the village churches and stuff so that they could be with us on this day. Let's go to the next one. This is Jared. He was actually preaching in this village. This village, in the year 2020, if you can believe it, they had never seen people with our skin complexion. They had never seen anybody from outside of India, ever, in this village. And we were blessed to be able to be the first ones. They welcomed us with drums and traditional dancing. They had buffalo horns on and like the whole thing. They actually even let us wear it. We played their traditional drums and everything, and they had a good time laughing at us. But the power of God was there. It moved tremendously in that place. I have to say I was a little bit ticked off that Coca-Cola got there before I did. You know, Coca-Cola is evangelizing the world with the gospel of sugar, whereas we'd like to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that have never heard it before. Thank God that the gospel got there before I did. Amen? Than we did. Let's go to the next one. By the way, there were multiple translators, which is what you saw in that last one, going from English to Hindi, from Hindi into a tribal language. I think it was Gondi. And so many times there's multiple translations going on. Here's Jarrett doing his thing, laying hands on people, getting them filled with the presence of God, getting touched and healed and all of that stuff. So we prayed for everybody at that place. Even the dogs outside got healed, I think. All right, let's go to the next one. These are some of the traditional vessels that we ate out of at this village. They don't have Tupperware. They don't have silverware. You eat with your hands and you eat out of leaves. So they make these leaves into bowls and plates and stuff, and we eat out of that. So you can see the next one, the remnants of what we did eat. We had curry and stuff. Oh, wow. All right, yeah. Next one. Yep. So that's what we ate. We had curry. In this village, they only have one kind of curry every day. That's it. They don't have multiple choice. You got one curry. If you don't like it, you're fasting. Next one. This is a picture, I think this is a short video. Go ahead and hit play. Nope, it's not. Anyway, this is Jagdalpur, and Pastor Loknath is in the bottom right-hand corner there, and he leads this tremendous church there of believers, and they're doing amazing things, getting people saved out of Hinduism, getting saved out of local religions and everything, naming the name of Jesus Christ, a powerful, powerful church there. Go ahead to the next one. Those are a couple of black chickens. They look like bats. Black chickens have black feathers, black skin, black eggs, black pretty much everything. And we did eat all kinds of parts of this thing. Nothing goes to waste. The Indians actually even eat the bones of the chicken. So the old idiom, eat the chicken, throw away the bones, does not work there. They're like, why would you throw away the bones? You should eat those. They're good for you, right? They need the nutrition. But they got these special for us. They were unique, and I did bring my knife to help them to butcher that because their knives were dull. They need DS knife sharpening to show up to India. And that thing in the bottom that looks like a club, it kind of is a club, but it's also their chopping block. So let's go to the next one. I forget what I have next. This is the innard curry. So they're on that plate. The round things are eggs that are not quite fully developed. They're just in the tract of the chicken, of the hen. And then there's some entrails. There's some gizzard. There's some heart. We ate the livers that were just roasted on the coals of the fire there. And we were already pretty full, so this was a little bit of a hard one to eat. But we ate it, right, Jarrett? We ate it. And we did all right. We didn't have any rice with this one. And it tasted pretty good, but they cooked it separately for us instead of with the chicken so that we could decide whether or not we wanted to continue eating this. Let's go to the next one. And these are the orphans that are living with the pastors there on the right-hand side. And we're helping to take care of these kids. We're helping to bless them. We're believing God to be able to provide them with bicycles, new bicycles, to be able to get to and from school. And we'll give you some opportunity in the near future to be able to partner and to sow seed if you want to. Just so you know, in these villages, it takes about $50 a month U.S. to be able to support a pastor, so that they don't have to work, so that they can actually just do the work of the gospel. And so if God lays it on your heart to give in that way, specifically to support a pastor, we'll make sure that that money gets over there to help to support them. $50 a month. I mean, you can pay a full salary just by doing that. Of course, we'd hope to be able to do a little bit more. I think the bicycles, they said, do you remember, Jarrett? It was like $25. It's something like that, $25 for a brand new bicycle. So if the Lord lays it on your heart that you want to do that, you want to partner in that way, you can definitely do that, and we'll make sure that the money gets there. All right, let's go to the next one if there is a next one. Thanks, Jarrett, for taking this picture. This is a picture of me walking into one of the villages there. And, of course, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. And it is not just a suggestion, it's a commandment. And that's part of the reason why we go. With that being said, did you guys enjoy that?
Yeah.
There's a lot more. There's a lot more. I'm going to hope to be able to preach a little bit to you today, but I want to invite Jared up to just say a few things. I've asked him to share some things that were like the three things that stood out to him the most about this trip, the things that he learned the most, as well as like his one big highlight of what happened while we were there. So I'm going to give this over to him for just a few moments here, and then we'll come back and finish up with some other things. Would you welcome Jared?
All right. Good morning. Good morning. So yeah, I got a couple things, like three big things that really helped me or blessed me while I was there. I know the first thing I put was I don't think I would have been able to go without knowing my identity and authority in Christ, because I know when Pastor Jake first spoke up about it, like maybe last year or something, like early in the year, and he's like, "Oh, I'm probably gonna go back next year," and this and that, like. I felt it on my heart that I wanted to go, but, like, I didn't say nothing at all because, like I thought, like, oh, why would I go? Like I had self-doubt. I was like, oh, why would I be good enough to go? I mean, there's so much other more qualified people in the church. I was like, oh, somebody will probably end up going. And then, like, months later, he asked again. I was like, oh, somebody's going to go. I was like, oh. I started going to IMI, learning about identity and authority and growing in myself, and then, like, the final straw was, like, about 2 or 3 weeks before he was planning to go. He's like, somebody really has to go with me. And it was at, like, a Bible college that only I went to. The family didn't go to. I just decided to go by myself. And then, like, there was only me and, like, two other men in there that I thought would have went. And then I already knew, like, they kind of weren't going to go. And I was like, guess it's me. So I went and talked to him, and he's like, oh, yeah, so, you know, you're going to need a passport and a visa. And I'm like, I ain't got that. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, next month I'm leaving or something. So, you know, I mean, that all worked out. Like, that was a miracle. Within less than 2 weeks, I got my passport. In one day, I got my visa. And then in 5 days, we got all the flights and everything, which is awesome. That's why I just want to thank the congregation for everything, you know, just, you know, giving to the evangelism fund, helping mine and Pastor Jake's family while we were out, you know, bringing food. I know Elizabeth said, like, they didn't even have to cook every day because there was so much that the next day had leftovers, and when the leftovers ran out, somebody was like, oh, here, I have more food. And that would last, and so while I was having chai, they were having really good food. But yeah, and another thing that was really awesome there was just seeing their hunger for God. It's like they were just so hungry for more of it. Like, a bunch of them don't even know how to read. They're illiterate. But then it's like their relationship with God was like just awesome and amazing. And then knowing us coming there, like, one of the main things, like, Pastor Jake would tell them was, like, that God didn't bring us, like, 7,000 plus miles for you not to get healed, for you not to get changed. So, like, hearing him say that the first time, it helped me also to be like, that's true. I'm not over here just to have a vacation and just be behind Pastor Jake and just be like, oh, no, you go, Pastor Jake, you do everything, and I'll just sit over here and clap and sing. It was like, nope. It was like right away. He got me into it, which was good, too. I like that he was just like, oh, ready? It's time to go pray for people. Let's go. It wasn't like, oh, are you sure you want to do this or not? He was like, nope, you're coming, which is good, because if God brought me there, that's what I was going to do. And I mean, it was amazing just seeing miracles after miracles. There was, like, we'd be on a break, and then the pastor would bring in, like, this lady that came by, missed the meetings or whatnot, and they're like, oh, she needs prayer. She needs healing. For this, we get up off of where we're sitting. I don't want to call it a bed because it's more like a piece of wood, but the bed. We get off it and we go pray on her. Like, twice, somebody came and immediately they were healed. They left the room healed. they would just come. So it was awesome just seeing and knowing, like, how everything was going. And I'm just so thankful for IMI. I mean, like, if anybody's still, you know, Wednesdays, it's still there. If you're not going, you should really, really go. It's awesome. And, like, the other thing that blessed me the most was just seeing Pastor Jake day in and day out, you know, from the beginning, from him helping me get around the airports, because, like, this is, like, the third time I've ever been on an airplane, and it included a 16-hour flight. And so it was like I've never used a bathroom on an airplane ever. I've never done nothing. Like, I think only on our flight back was the first time I ever used the bathroom on an airplane. And I was like, I'd rather use a bathroom in a hole in India than on the airplane. I don't know. It was just, I didn't know what to expect. But, yeah, it was just awesome seeing him day in and day out from just, like, there was nothing ever to complain about. There was, like, they would pop up and they'd be like, oh, yeah, we're finished. So in about 45 minutes, you ready for another one? He'd just be like, okay. Go in the room, pull up his stuff. And then that's the good thing I learned about him, too. He said, like, everything was already in him. It's just about putting it in order. So it's not like he was going to go and Google search and be like, okay, let me preach about this, or let me look up this and whatnot. It was like he already knew it was in him because it was constantly being put in him. And then he was just like, I just got to rearrange it and then break it down, because it's like you can't just preach and keep talking because you have a translator. So it's like phrases and stuff, which is interesting because, like, I'm kind of glad I had, like, 4 or 5 days of watching him before I did it, because I was, like, writing in my notes. I was like, it would have just been a long, like, straightforward scriptures and whatnot. But then I'd be like, okay, I got to make that into a phrase. That no pigeon there, because they can't translate that. Because, like, that has to be better grammar. It's like, and then just hearing them talk and stuff. So I was able to learn how to effectively speak to them and relate to them, which is good. And then it's the final thing. On the last day, I know it was like our very last message we were going to do and whatnot. And I was telling Pastor Jake, I was like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm like, these people, they're going to get smashed, like, big time. Like, God's just going to whack them really big. And then, like, I was just excited. I was like, this is our last time for ministry. And then it ended up being, like, the best blessing for us. We kind of ended up getting smashed instead, because, like, the pastor there did something like that, you know, Pastor Jake's constantly been preaching about, and the fact that he was obedient in that, in what he did, it was like he was just talking about it to the interpreter, and it wasn't even translated yet, and we were already getting whacked. We already knew what was in his hand, what was moving forward, and that was like the best thing. It's just to end it like that and then go and travel 54 hours to get home. Yeah. So yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Jarrett. And, you know, Jarrett did an amazing job on this trip. Just a great attitude, great support, great ministry. And I would take him with me again anytime. I do want to say this, that one of the biggest problems in India is incredible poverty. And I'll tell you that there is no way for us in the West to give enough to take that country out of poverty. You know what's going to take that country out of poverty? Giving and the gospel. That's what's going to do it. And we drilled it over and over and over and over. I mean, for the years that I've known these pastors, we have drilled it that if you don't have enough, you need to give. When you don't have what you need to give. If you don't have, if what you have does not meet the need, it's seed. And if you don't plant into the ground, you will never have a harvest. And one of the things that they learn in Bible college is, don't worry about having to get a lot of rich people in your church. Just make a friend with someone in the West and then ask them for money. And then you'll be all right. And I told them that is the most wrong thing that you can do. That is not the gospel, and it does not help your people. People need to understand that if you do not sow, you will not reap. If you do not give, you will not receive. God needs to have something to work with to multiply so that you can have more. One of the things that has happened in the past is that we as a church and as people that have participated have sent me and other people to that country to sow seeds of the gospel into that country. I have never received an honorarium. I have never received an offering. I have never been given anything, really, some small gifts and everything. And we didn't do it because we're looking to get a gift from them. There's nothing that they could give that would be enough to cover the cost. But it's not about that. It's about the process of buying into the gospel's message that if you give, you will receive. What was so amazing this time around was that I challenged them from an apostolic standpoint because they gave me that liberty to tell them, this is not the way that it should be. I should not have to come at my own expense. I should not come and not receive anything. It's not that your offering is going to change my life. I'm not going to get rich off of you. But you need to give because you need to give. Because when you give, God's going to multiply it. Pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. And this one pastor started to gather other pastors. When he heard the word of God, he got these pastors together and he said, we should give. And they gathered. I didn't even look at it. I knew already in my heart that God said, if they give, you restore it back to them. But I didn't tell them that. And on that last day, in that last village, after they had washed our feet, because beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them who bring good news. Amen. They gave an offering from their pastors and from their people to say thank you for coming and bringing the gospel to us. And the Lord told me, I had my offering prepared. They didn't even take up an offering that day. But the Lord said, I want you to take that offering that they gave. I want you to receive it. I want you to add to it, and I want you to give it back to them for the work of the gospel. So I did. And I'll tell you what, there was a power that came into that room that just smashed the place. And there was freedom that came. I'm believing God that they're going to have prosperity begin to just break out. You know, the gospel is meant to set people free. If you're here today and you're in a place of poverty in your life, can I tell you that the way out of poverty is not taking? The way out of poverty is giving. If you're broken in your life, in your emotions, in your heart, the way out of that is not by taking from other people, but it's by giving to the Lord. And when we do that, I can't tell you the way that the exchange takes place in heaven. It's not my system. It's God's system. But if we'll buy into God's system, the one thing in the Bible where God says, try me, test me, do your best, I double dog dare you, is that God says, if you will give the tithe, if you'll return the tithe, that's 10% of your income, if you'll return that to me, see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there is not room enough to receive it. If you don't have enough, what good is it to just hold on to that and not have enough? Why not take that and trust God with it? Seed it, give it. Bless somebody, put it in the hands of God who can multiply it, pressed down, shaken together, and running out all over. My friend, I'm telling you, the gospel works. Amen. The gospel works. And I told them over and over again, man, I wish I had enough time, but I gotta get this message into your heart today. But you have to listen, money is not going to fix India. Amen. The gospel is going to fix India. Money is not going to get people out of poverty. Giving is going to get people out of poverty. Amen. And when they got a hold of this, man, my mind and my heart were just absolutely blown because they acted upon the word of God. Can I tell you that if we act on the word of God, we'll get God's results? If you do what the Bible says to do, you'll get what the Bible says that you'll get. My friend, if you have not participated in giving and returning your tithe back to the Lord yet, I want to beg you to start doing that. I don't need your gift, but God needs something to work with. And if you'll put it into his hands, God is faithful, and he will multiply it back to your account. Can you say amen? Yes. Amen. Did you guys get something out of that today? Awesome. Awesome. Well, we need to have something for our Connect groups this week. And so I want to preach to you. I've got a message that I'm hoping is going to be relatively short. I'm going to tell you ahead of time that because of everything that we've done today and everything, it's going to go past our normal time of noon. If you need to leave at noon, I totally understand, and I'm so sorry that we're going to go a bit over today. But if you can stay, it's going to be worth it. I want to talk to you today about who we are. I'm going to preach to you a message called This Is Us. And I want to talk to you about the culture of the ARC Christian Church. Why? Because that's where you are. Why should I talk about somebody else's culture? I want to talk about the culture of this house, about vision, about destiny, about purpose. And I think if you'll grab a hold of these six things that I'm going to tell you today, you'll find out whether or not this church is the place for you. I believe that if you're here today, this is the place for you. But God has something amazing that he's doing in this place. I want to talk to you very quickly about culture. And if you've got your notes, you're going to want to fill in the blanks there. If you don't have notes, you can get it on our app, you can get it on our website, or you can just take some old-fashioned notes. But I hope that you'll take notes because these things are important. First of all, culture. What is culture? Do you know that everything, everyone, everywhere has a culture? Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines culture as this: the set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that characterizes an institution or an organization. Many of you out there, you know what culture is because you know there's some places that you love to go to. There's some places you hate to go to. Everybody loves to go to Disneyland because it's the happiest place on earth. But you know, my not happiest place on earth is the car auto parts store. You ever notice that car places all seem to have a culture like you're a problem? Like, why are you bothering me? I know I have car parts and you need car parts, but why are you here? I don't like you. You're a problem to me, right? And there's certain places where you want to be, certain places where you don't want to be. There is one restaurant that I will never go to ever again because when I went there, I found out that their culture was not what they had written on their sign. Their culture on their sign said, it takes months to find a good customer. It takes minutes to lose one. And I told them, you know your sign is right. And I said, and I will never be back here ever again. Do you know it's probably been 10 years since I've been to that restaurant? It's a very popular restaurant. Many people like to go there, but I will never go there. And if you ever ask me who they are, I will tell you. Don't ask me right now. The experience was so bad. The culture was so bad. It was messed up. I couldn't even get a cup of coffee. It was bad. But you know what? We have a culture in this church. And we can either have a culture by accident or we can have a culture on purpose. So many places have a culture by accident. Did you know your family has a culture? And your culture in your family is not like anybody else's family culture. That's why some people don't like your family. But other people love your family. Why? Because you have a culture. Your culture is different than some others. You know, there's some people that I know of in this church, their family culture is they never hug, they never touch, they never handshake, they never honey, they never nothing. They just wave. Hi, good to see you again. And it's like that. Then there's some other people, it's like, will you quit touching me already? See, culture is a powerful thing, but in this church, we're going to choose a particular thing. Here at the Ark, we understand that every church has a culture. I want you to see this. Rather than allowing our feelings or our upbringing or the standards of our society to take the lead, our goal here at this church is to intentionally and consistently communicate, demonstrate, and celebrate the culture that we want to see. There's a culture we want to see. And I believe it's the culture that God wants for us to have. I want you to know what the purpose of our church is. The purpose of this church at the Ark, to the glory of God, we exist to serve by showing the way. That's the whole reason why this church existed. It exists. If we don't do that, we might as well just close our doors and go home. But we exist to serve by showing the way. What does this mean? This means that in everything that we do individually, that means when you go out from this place, relationally, corporately, all those things, it is our life's breath to exemplify the life and the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. to the lost, we're showing the way to Jesus himself. Because I believe that Jesus will change lives. To the Christian, the person who's already born again, we're showing the way to a deeper, more fulfilling, more impactful walk with Jesus. We need this. We need to show the way. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Our vision here, if you don't know our vision, I want to tell you what our vision is. Vision number one is so important. Because you ever been like, I don't know, maybe you've been at home in the middle of the night and you needed to go to the bathroom, but you forgot that you left your suitcase out on the floor, and so you had an accident by running into your suitcase and you stubbed your toe on the way to the toilet? Because you couldn't see real good, because you had sleep in your eyes, because it was dark. And when we don't have good vision, we can have accidents. It's important that we have good vision. Amen? Our vision is a statement of the destination that we see God taking this church to, and it will determine the actions that we take to get there. By the way, those actions are not going to stay the same all the time. They're going to change. They're going to morph as our church changes, as it grows, as different people arrive, as different needs become apparent. Those methods are going to change. Be flexible. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 says this, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he who reads it, or he can run who reads it." We want you to know the vision of this house so that you can run with it. Amen. Not sit with it, not ogle it, but run with it. Amen? There's some people that are already running with the vision, but sometimes we just haven't made it clear enough. So we want to make sure you know what the vision of this house is. Proverbs 29:18 in the Amplified Version of the Bible. Thank you, Lekka, for mentioning this verse today in worship. "Where there is no vision or redemptive revelation of God, the people perish or they dwell carelessly. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he." You know, if we have a vision and we keep it, we're going to be happy. We're going to be blessed. We're going to be fulfilled. That's why we want you to know the vision so that you can run with it. Originally, for those of you that have been here for a long time, how many of you have been here a long time? Yeah, I see those hands. I love seeing the ones that didn't raise your hands too. I'm so glad that you're here, even if you haven't been here for a long time. But you know what? Our original vision, as stated, is this: a thousands-strong body of unified, miracle-working believers trained to impact the nations of the world for Christ. I hear a lot of you reciting that. That's so awesome. And you know what? Our heart is still the same, but we're going to reword this so that it's a little bit more easy for people to grab a hold of. We're not changing our heart, we're changing the statement. Here's what we're going to say: that we are a vision-driven, faith-filled community, positively changing lives, cities, and nations through the message of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you know, I believe that Jesus Christ and his message will change the world. I believe that Jesus' message can change your life. I believe that Jesus' message and the message of Jesus Christ can change your city, your town, your school, your workplace, your environment. We're meant to engage the culture around us through the message of Jesus Christ. I didn't go to India for a vacation, just so you know. I would go to other places that would be more posh, where I'm not eating red ants, probably, or chicken guts. Although I enjoy all of that stuff because God made me for that. You know what I mean? But I would go someplace that had a hot tub and someone who could massage sore muscles. And it wouldn't take me 60 hours to get there in uncomfortable travel. You know? I would go places where I could bathe daily. Maybe multiple times a day if I so choose. But you know what? I believe that we can affect nations through the preaching of the message of Jesus Christ. And that's why I go. Because God said, go. So I said, yes, sir. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
By the way, I just want you to know God's not just telling me to go. He's telling you to go.
Yeah.
To your school, to your workplace, to your neighbors, to the people that don't like you, you know, the family members that don't want to talk to you. Yeah, he's saying go to them too. because Jesus can change their life. Amen? I want to give you 6 culture points that I hope that those of you that call the ark your home will grab onto and will hold onto. They're very simple, but they're so profound. The first culture point is this, that we exude passion. We exude passion. Somebody was so nice, and they told me recently, wow, Pastor Jake, you're so energetic when you preach. Well, that's because I'm full of the energy of heaven. I mean, I'm excited about this gospel that'll change people's lives. And if I'm too excited for you, I'm sorry. You can go and listen to Bueller, some other time, but not in this church. Amen. I'm going to be excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but it's about an intentional response. We're going to have an intentional response to Jesus. We recognize that everything we do is filled with eternal importance. Everything that we do, every word that I'm saying now, I believe contains eternal importance. Yeah. Therefore, every detail deserves our enthusiasm, creativity, and excellence. Yeah. You know, we could take down the pipe and drape so that you could see all the things that are stored on this stage, but we're not going to do that. Why? Because it takes time to set it up, but we believe that we should do things with as much excellence as possible because there is an eternal significance to everything that we do. We exude passion. Here's the second thing. We love sacrifice. We love sacrifice. It's about having the right priorities. And I know that somebody might get upset with me as I say this, and that's okay. You can be upset with me. I still love you anyway. It's about having the right priorities. We know that when we sacrifice, it's not about what we're giving up, but what we're giving to. Yes. It's not about what we have to do, but it's about what we want to do. We're okay with you sacrificing big time for the kingdom of God. We're totally all right. I'm all right with sacrificing sleep and time and money and energy and all those things because it's important. The priority of heaven is important. We love sacrifice. You know, I just thought about it today. I was thinking about when was the last time for many of us that we gave more than money, than we gave more than a thought, that we gave more than a prayer, but we gave ourselves. I think it's really important that Jesus is looking for where we are. When God looked down the hedgerow, he looked for a man and no one was there. He didn't look for money. He didn't look for good words. He didn't look for good thoughts. He looked for a person, and no one was there. I'm not going to let that happen, but I'm going to stand in the gap. Can you say amen? Amen. We embrace risk in this church. We embrace risk. Why? Because it's about bold faith. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to a wimpy church that doesn't have any faith. We're called to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? I don't want to just be in a safe church. I want to be in a bold church. I want to be in a church that wants to change the world for Jesus. You might not know this, but going to India, we were literally hanging our lives in the balance. But we weren't, except because God was with us. But by any natural standard, it is a stupid place to go. But we're bold in faith. It's about bold faith. We refuse to insult God with small thinking and safe living. We pray big prayers, take bold steps of faith, and we watch God move. I'm not just going to stay in a safe place my whole life. I'm taking bold steps. And we in this church, if you want to be safe all the time and you want to not live by faith, this is not the church for you. But we're going to pray big prayers. We're going to take bold steps of faith. And God is going to move in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? In this church, we show honor. This is our culture. We show honor. How do we do that? We do it by valuing people. By valuing people. We celebrate the distinctive difference in others, because we know God has placed gifts and callings in the heart of every person. So when Jason comes up here and he preaches in Pidgin, because that's what he's got, we're going to celebrate that distinctive difference. When Junior's got examples about work, because that's the scope of his life right now, we're going to celebrate that example. Why? Because I don't lift 800 or 900 pound pieces of equipment on a daily basis. His perspective is different, but you know what? You needed to hear that today. You needed to hear that it's not just about lifting the equipment. It's about the ramp you're standing on. You needed to hear that it's about the foundation that you build your life on. See, we celebrate differences. Just because you're not like me doesn't mean that you're terrible. It means you're wonderful. And we celebrate that difference. Amen? We go beyond what is expected, in other words, common courtesy, and use our words to speak blessing. We exhibit honor through purposeful investment in connection and in relationships. Can I just say that it's so important to invest your life into the lives of the people around you? We value people by investing in them. And if we choose to withhold ourselves from them, we're not making much of an investment, are we? I think it's so important that we take that risk, because we embrace risk, and that we would give ourselves to the people around us. We value them in honor. I want to thank the Kino family for coming up and giving a lay to myself and to Pastor Jolie today. And they just said, we just want to honor you and thank you for being great pastors. We didn't ask for that, but we thank them for that honor. It honors us, and you know what it does for them? It allows them to receive us as good pastors. The Bible says if you receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you will receive a righteous man's reward. You receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. As I'm preaching to you today, if you just respond to me as some stunningly good-looking man that is, you know, born and raised in Hawaii with a huge IQ, it's okay, you can laugh. Warren said, it never crossed my mind, Pastor Jake. Thank you very much, Warren. I love you. I love you. I'm praying for you. But you know what I'm saying? If you just refer to me and respond to me as some local boy that just is doing the Jesus thing, well, guess what? That's what you're going to get. But they got so much out of the ministry that we brought to India. Same person. But the way that they received me was as an apostle. The way that they received me was as someone who traveled halfway around the world, sent by God to bring healing to their life. See, if you'd receive it like that, oh my goodness, your life just might change. Same person. I'm not special. I'm just obedient to God. Amen? By the way, I receive you in the way that God is sending you. Amen? Here's the next culture point. We win together. We win together. We're not about big shots and little shots. We're not about people being superstars in the kingdom of God. We win together. Why? Because it's about a united purpose. We emphasize in this church, we emphasize we over me. And our purpose over our preference. Pastor Jake, I don't like that song. I don't care. You know, because the purpose is to glorify God, not to cater to your preference. I just don't like having drums so loud. That's okay. Put in earplugs. You'll be good. Let's worship heaven together. You know, when I was in India, I don't like singing songs in Hindi because I don't know the words. But you know what? God didn't care. And I just worshiped him in spirit and in truth. We are emphasizing we over me and our purpose over our preference. It is not success if we secured it solo. We are a team church. We're a church of teams, a church that believes in teams, not walking alone. Leaders bring people with them. And if we don't bring anyone with us, we're just out for a walk. I'm not out for a walk. I'm out to serve Jesus with you. Amen? Here's the last culture point I want to give to you today. We are bringers. We are bringers. It's about being a bridge. Being a bridge. We believe that, listen now, this is so important. We believe that everyone needs Jesus. Not just ugly people, not just broken people, not just poor people, not just destitute people. We believe that everyone needs Jesus. We believe that everyone needs a church. By the way, this is an amazing church to be a part of. And we believe that everyone needs a pastor. If you didn't know this, Pastor Jolie and I have recently asked some people, Pastors Mel and Heather Mullen, to be our pastors. We believe that everyone needs a pastor, and we're leading by example. We believe that everyone needs Jesus, a church, and a pastor. It is our great privilege to be the bridge that connects people to Jesus, to a great church like the Ark, and a pastor after Jesus' own heart. We invite friends, family, and friends that we haven't even met yet, friends to be, to come with us. I want to challenge us to be those that invite, that bring. Don't just invite, but bring. There's a slight difference between those two, isn't there? We're people who bring people to Jesus to be connectors with the house of God. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
I'm almost done. For those of you that are new to the church, or maybe you just have forgotten how to do this thing, I want to talk to you very briefly about how to ark. How do you do it? When you come to this church, how do I do it? What do I do? Well, the first thing that you should do is you should participate in preaching, teaching, and healing. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, that Jesus went about all the cities and all the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I don't care what sickness, I don't care what disease. If you need healing, come and ask. I will pray for you, and I'm going to believe Jesus for you to be healed. Mental disease? Absolutely. You're tormented by voices? Well, then they'll stop in the name of Jesus. Barren from children and you want some? Oh, we've got great success with that. We've got testimonies that we'll share online of some of the pastors in India that were barren. And 2 years ago, we went and prayed for them. Guess what? They got kids when we went back. But they also acted upon their faith. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 says this, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." We are doers of the word. So don't just come to hear preaching and to hear teaching and to get prayed for, but participate in it by preaching, teaching, and healing. Man, it was so great to see Jarrett flowing in his level of ability overseas.
Amen.
Look, when we've heard the word and received it, we need to act on the word that we heard and follow in the footsteps of Jesus himself. Well, I don't know how to pray for people and get them healed. Let me show you how. It's really hard. You take this hand or this hand. And if you don't have hands, that's okay. Use what's left. And you lay it on somebody. And the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So you take that hand, you lay it on somebody and you say something like, in the name of Jesus, be healed. That's it. Do you know that you're not responsible for the outcome?
Yeah.
You're responsible for your obedience.
Amen.
God is responsible for the outcome. Longer prayers are not better prayers. You just got to pray in faith. Amen?
Amen?
Lay your hand on somebody. Poof. Pray for them. If they got the coronavirus, lay hands on them. They don't need more toilet paper. They need healing. They don't need more water. They need Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Take your hand. If you have never prayed for somebody in your life to get healed, my friend, it is time to do it.
Amen.
It's time to do what Jesus did. Not just look at what he did and expect your pastor to do it. You do it. Be a doer of the word. Amen? It ain't that hard, but it's going to scare you spitless. And you know what? Jesus is going to show up because we embrace risk. Amen? Here's how we do it. Sundays, that's for preaching. That's what I'm doing. I'm preaching to you right now. Wednesday nights, that's when we have Bible college. That's our forum for teaching. Teaching and preaching are not the same thing. You want to get both in there. If all you get is preaching, you'll just blow up. If all you get is teaching, a lot of times you'll just dry up. But if you get teaching and preaching together, you'll grow up. Isn't that amazing? You need both. And finally, every day, do the word and believe for healing and miracles to be in your hands. You are no less anointed than I am. You are no less anointed than Jesus is. In fact, the Bible says in the gospel, in the epistle of 1 John, the anointing which you have received of me, Jesus said, now abides or lives in you. Not a different anointing, not a lesser anointing, the same anointing. If it was enough for Jesus, it's enough for you. So take that hand or that hand, whatever your preferred hand is, maybe both hands. Lay them on somebody and pray for them to be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Here's the next thing that you do besides participating in preaching, teaching, and healing. You show up and you serve and you give.
Yeah.
Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your, get this, reasonable service. It's reasonable to give. It's reasonable to give yourself, not just your money, not just your thoughts, not just your encouragement, not just your, I'll pray for you from a distance, but to give yourself as a living sacrifice. I believe that God is asking us to serve and to give. Don't be conformed to the world. You know what the world says? I don't have time to do that. I have limited resources, so I can't do that. I don't have enough for myself, hardly. How am I going to give? See, that's completely opposite of the kingdom of heaven. God says, give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. That's how you're going to get it back. Amen? That's why I think sometimes people always go to the bathroom during the offering, because every time that's where they make their deposit, and it just returns back to them, pressed down, shaken together, hopefully not running out all over. How do you do this? You show up as often as possible. As often as possible. Again, it's about priorities. You show up as often as possible. Making Jesus and his body the center of your life has never been a bad decision. I don't have time to preach on it today, but I will tell you that even when God set up the tribes of Israel, he put the tabernacle, the presence of God, at the center of everything. It was at the center of life. Everybody was pointed at the center of Jesus. I know some people, you know that song, Jesus at the center of it all. But really, he's on the fringes of it all, right? But our lives, it's all right for your life to revolve around Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus will make you better in every facet of your life.
Amen.
He'll make you better. Here's the next one. Give of yourself whenever you show up. Not just your stuff, yourself. Give yourself when you show up. Give and you will receive is what Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says. This is my last point, and I promise you I'm going to end. Thank you for those of you that are staying over extra. I hope that this is blessing you today. You're going to want to get these points into your heart if you're going to be walking with us in this life. The last point is this. You got to connect. How do you ark? You connect. You connect. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says this in the Amplified Version of the Bible. Now we also beg you, brethren, to get to know those that labor among you. Recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. You know, I know that there's stories of people that have started to come to Connect groups and they attend the same church because it's this church and they had never met one another before. Is that even possible? Like, yes, it is possible. What are the odds of that? Better than you think, obviously. You see, it's important to connect because the people on the left side sometimes don't talk to the people on the right side. Look, can you see them? Say yes. They're right there. They're not that far away. And in fact, if you want to, you can have some food in just a little while. You can even spit on them when you talk. Just like spit some cracker on them or something. It's cool. Jesus spit on people, they got healed. I told people, yeah, get up real close to me in India. I might spit on you, you might get healed. But you know what? As your faith is, so be it unto you. I told them, like, hey, if you want to get healed when I spit on you, that's your business. But it's important to know those, recognize them for what they are. Do you know that the people around you are amazing? You can't even imagine the talents, the abilities, the treasure that's in the people that are sitting right around you, and you haven't even investigated the treasure. That's like Jarrett not even trying a red ant egg. The treasure. I told you, I'm going to get him until he eats one. The treasure that he has never discovered by not eating one. You know, if we would get to know the people around us, we would add to our lives incredible treasure. If you ever need to know how to get to meet people and to never know a stranger, get to know the Botello family. They've never met a stranger in their life. Everyone's just immediately a friend. They know everything about you within 5 minutes. I think they should go into lines of interrogation. They can get everything out of somebody without waterboarding. It's amazing. But you, if you want to learn that, you got to get around that treasure. I need to learn some of that because sometimes I don't want to talk to you. Because you look scary. You know what I mean? You don't have a smile on your face. It's like, oh, they probably hate me. And then they're just like, oh, they love me. I'm going to come and talk to you. I got to learn some of that sometimes. You can get treasure by valuing other people. Know them and recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. Hey, you're different than me, but you know what? I respect that about you. Because you don't want this one-note song. We want to have a melody, maybe even a cacophony, whatever it might be. We want to have a joyful noise that worships God. Amen? Know them, your leaders who are over you in the Lord, and those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you. Hey, you want to get to know me? I'll tell you where I am. On Mondays, leave me alone. I'm with my family. On Tuesdays, I'm working out at Life Fit. You want to see what I'm like in that environment? Come and visit me. I'll show you what it's like to be under my coaching and to see me struggle under a load. On Wednesday nights, I'm at Bible College. You want to get to know me? It's a great time to come and talk to me. Thursday nights, I'm at Life Fitness again because I think working out twice a week is the bare minimum. And then on Fridays, it depends what's going on, but I'm probably at some event somewhere. I'm at Connect Group. Oh, yeah, you want to be a part of my Connect Group? Shoot, come. You can learn who I am and find out that I do love donuts from Donut King after all. You can learn about me. It's no problem. On Saturdays, you can find me preparing a sermon or at a function at the church or something. I am very around. And you know what? I love this church even more than if I wasn't. Yeah. Amen. If you want to know who the people are around you, just come and be around us. Find us. Stalk us. It's cool. Just find out where we're at. Show up there like a crazy psycho stalker. And that's what I do with Jesus. I find out where he's going to be, and then I get there. And I make sure that I meet him there, and I find out what he likes and what he doesn't like, and then I do that, and I surprise him sometimes, maybe. Here's how you do it. Come a little bit early. Come a little bit early. What? Did you say early? Yeah, the opposite of Hawaiian time. Show up early. Just a little bit. A few minutes, you know, a few minutes of connection will change your life. Yeah. Stay a little bit after. I know you're already a little bit after, but guess what? We have food for you, so you can stay a little bit after. And then if you really want to, you can stay after in the parking lot with the parking lot ministry, because it seems to go on forever now, which I like, by the way. And then meet somebody new. If you see somebody that you've never seen before, can I tell you what not to do? Which is what we've already been doing, which is, I don't know you. But instead, it's like, I don't know you. Let me get to know you. Because you know what? Then they can get to know you. Because you're pretty amazing. Look at somebody. Tell them I'm pretty amazing. By the way, that's not a lie. It's the truth. You're pretty amazing. Here's the final thing. You should become a participant, a consistent participant in a connect group. We have connect groups all throughout the week, all around the island, and there are amazing groups of people, and if you don't like that group of people, at least you tried it like the red ant egg, and you would know that you don't like it. Then you can try a different one. You can... I'm just joking with you, Jarrett. But you can try it. If you don't like it, go to another one. If you don't like that one, go to a different one. And if you don't like that one, just stay there, because good grief, get plugged in. One thing I do know is wherever you go, there you are. Right? Get to be a part of a connect group. If you're not a part of a connect group, it's going to be very difficult on a Sunday morning for a few minutes here and there to develop deep, lasting, authentic relationships. By the way, not everybody in here is doing awesome all the time. I just want you to know that. I know I look like I'm always doing awesome. I'm not. But Jesus is still King. And you know what? I'm going to ask you for prayer. You can ask my connect group. I ask them for prayer. I'm like, man, I really need wisdom. I need insight from the Lord. Will you pray for me? I need direction from the Holy Ghost. I'm struggling with my message that I'm about to preach in like less than 48 hours. Will you please pray for me? And you know what? It's a great place to get really real with people. If you're tired of coming to church and faking it, show up to a connect group and get real. Seriously. Amen? People will know your stuff. Yeah, I know. But that's all right. You'll know their stuff too. You can blackmail them back. All right. Just kidding. Let me give you one last thing. I hope you've gotten something out of this today. Just one thing. No matter what family or church culture you have come from, we invite you to leave that culture behind and to adopt the culture of the Ark Christian Church. Because otherwise, you can come to this church for the rest of your life and you can be, man, I wish that they would just change this because I liked it like this at another place. Look, this ain't another place. This is this place. And we are who we are. And we're not perfect. Not even Jesus' church was perfect in the sense of that he had an embezzling treasurer. He had one doubter in the group. Now you're down to 10. You know, you got Peter who kept flying off the handle. Now you're down to 9. I mean, you got people that were not perfect in Jesus' closest circle of friends. We are not perfect in this church. But I'll tell you who is perfect. Jesus. And you know what? We invite him and we celebrate him and we focus on him and we prioritize him every time that we get together. I invite you to leave the old things and the old ways and the old things that you've seen, heard, and done, and experienced, and even loved before, and adopt the culture at this church. Amen. I think if you do that, you'll find yourself to be incredibly blessed. Let me pray for you today as I bless you. Before I do that, I just want to ask if there's anyone here that you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. By the way, this is part of the culture of our church. We will give an altar call or an opportunity to meet Jesus Christ every time that we get together because there might be somebody that doesn't know him. I don't want to be responsible for you not making it to heaven if you want to because I didn't tell you about Jesus. If you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but you want to today, or maybe you've been away from him and you need to come back home to him, right now, I want to give you that opportunity. The Bible says all you need to do is believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that all you need to do is confess with your mouth that Jesus is now the Lord of your life. If you do that, the Bible says that you are part of God's family and that you are destined for heaven. If that's you today, on the count of three, with every eye closed and every head bowed around this room, I just want to know who I'm praying for. So if you would be so bold, on the count of three, would you just slip your hand up to say, yeah, Pastor Jake, that's me. I want to pray with you today, and I want to get born again into God's family. Ready? 1, 2, 3. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you want to come back home to Jesus today? Amen. Would you do this? Would you stand with me real quick before I bless you? Would you just stand? I'd love if everyone would just pray this out of their own mouth. Those of you that raised your hand, or maybe you need to and you didn't, I want you to just pray this with me. And at the end of this prayer, it's not a prayer that saves you. It's doing business with Jesus that saves you. But if you would commit your ways to the Lord, the Bible says that he will save you. So would you all just pray this with me? And if you mean business with God, he'll mean business with you. Would you pray this? Dear Heavenly Father, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that he paid the price for my sins. That he died so I don't need to. And I declare with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I'm giving him control. I'm letting him be my boss. Take control, Jesus. I'm yours. I believe that because of these things and the promises of the Word of God, I am now saved. My destination is heaven. God is my Father. The angels are my helpers. The Holy Spirit is my guide. And Jesus is my brother. And I am now born again. And my destination is heaven. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it in your heart, you are now born again. I want to ask you at the end of our service today, in just a moment, we're going to close. We have a gift for you. It's a Starbucks gift card. You don't want to miss out on that. But we have a gift for you, as well as we have a Bible that's waiting for you. And we want to just tell you your next step. If you would just go right over to that I Have Decided banner on the left-hand side of the room there and meet someone there. They won't take a lot of your time. But we want to bless you. We want to tell you your next step and celebrate with all of the angels of heaven that are going nuts right now that you got born again into the kingdom of God. Amen. Let me pray for you before you get seated today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bless your people. We speak the heavens to be opened upon them and that the culture of this church would be in them. Let the vision and the destiny of heaven be upon them in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you allow Pastor Jolie to come and close us as you have your seats?
Thank you, Pastor Jake. That was an awesome, awesome word. Thank you. This is us. Do you guys love it? I just listening to Pastor Jake, I'm just astounded that I get to be a part of this church family and that I'm surrounded by such amazing people. Pastor Jake wasn't lying or making up when he said that you are amazing. And so I hope that you guys truly meant that when you confess it over yourself. You are. And that scripture that Pastor Jake shared, it just says, get to know those who labor among you. Recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. As we take time after we close the service to fellowship, we have food provided for everyone. If you would have the time to stay just for a little bit, let's do that scripture. Let's put into action the word of God. Get to know those who labor among you. Recognize them for what they are. And appreciate and respect them. So say something to somebody. I appreciate that you came early and that you helped set up the chairs. Or I really respect that you're a single parent, but you still bring your family to serve in the house of God. Or whatever it is, find something to verbally share with somebody your heart about why you respect them and appreciate them. Because I guarantee you it'll bless them. Amen? And you'll be blessed in the process. So we just want to thank you. If you're a guest with us for the first time today, we welcome you. And we hope that you feel the presence of God as much as we do. And we would love to sit, Pastor Jake and I would love to sit with you personally, greet you. We have some ladies that are willing to serve you some food and refreshments if you can stay. And we have a welcome center right here in the corner that has all the information that you need about the events that are happening throughout the week. We also have a website, thearccc.com, if you want to visit it, check out what's going on throughout the week so you can get connected and you can participate in what is happening in this body. We love you guys, and we'll see you guys right here next week, Sunday, starting at 9:30 for prayer and 10 a.m. for worship. Have an amazing, awesome week. Be blessed.